This message comes from NPR sponsor Hulu. Don't miss the new docuseries, Black Twitter, A People's History. From memes to movements, see how this powerful online community shapes culture and society. Black Twitter, A People's History is now streaming on Hulu.
If there is a spot in your heart shaped like a rom-com where Lindsay Lohan's red hair shines in beautiful Irish sunlight, have I got good news for you. Her new movie, Irish Wish, is new to Netflix. Not only that, but there are a couple of other playful love stories you can stream from your couch. Whether you're a fan of Glenn Powell's gleaming chest or Camila Mendes navigating the glamorous art world. I'm Linda Holmes, and today we're rounding up some recent rom-com offerings on NPR's Pop Culture Happy Hour.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Hulu. Don't miss the new docuseries, Black Twitter, A People's History, from Onyx Collective and Hulu. Directed by Prentice Penny, executive producer of Insecure, Black Twitter, A People's History, tells the story of how black voices found a new home online and blossomed into a force for change while laying down some hilarious tweets along the way. From the memes to the movements, see how this powerful community shapes culture, society, and politics. Black Twitter, A People's History, is now streaming on Hulu. Support for NPR and the following message come from FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming only on Hulu. This message comes from NPR sponsor Hulu. Dive into the chilling new Hulu original series, Under the Bridge, the riveting adaptation of the acclaimed true crime book. Based on shocking true events, Under the Bridge tells the haunting story of a murder that lays bare a small community's darkest secrets. Go deep into the hidden world of the town's tormented teenagers as detectives race to solve the sinister crime. Starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone, Under the Bridge is now streaming with new episodes Wednesdays, only on Hulu.
This message comes from NPR sponsor BetterHelp. When you keep your stress bottled up, it can eat away at you. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to make them better. Try BetterHelp Online Therapy, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp at BetterHelp.com/NPR today to get 10% off your first month.
Joining me today is co-host of Slate's ICYMI podcast and former Pop Culture Happy Hour producer, Candace Lim. Welcome back, Candace.
Hi, Linda.
Always amazing to see you. And also with us is podcast producer and film and culture critic, Kate Young. Hi, Kate.
Hi, I'm so excited to get into this.
I am excited to get into this also. This is my niche, as some people know. We are talking about three movies today. I want to jump right in and talk about Irish Wish, which is streaming on Netflix. Lindsay Lohan plays Maddie, a book editor with a massive crush on one of her authors. While she's in Ireland watching him marry her close friend, she makes a wish that offers her the chance to be with him.
I wish I was marrying Paul Kennedy.
But at the same time, she meets an intriguing photographer named James, played by Ed Spaliers, who might be more appealing than the man of her dreams. I will mention, Lindsay Lohan made a Christmas rom-com with Netflix not long ago. This kind of seems to be the move she's making at the moment. Candace, what did you think of Irish Wish?
So I love Lindsay Lohan. I am so here for her like Netflix rom-com contract.
100%.
But I will be honest, this is bottom of the list for me. I think this movie is a bit paper thin in terms of logic, story, comedy, chemistry. And I truly watched this thinking like, oh, this is like a My Big Fat Greek Wedding 3 situation of like, you didn't have a good script. You just wanted to go to Ireland. And I completely get that. And I think story-wise, my sense is that there were like two rom-coms happening here. You know, the first half is kind of like a My Best Friend's Wedding. Maddie is upset because her friend is about to marry Paul Kennedy. And then the second half is kind of like a 50 First Dates Groundhog Day situation. There's a bit of like time travel fantasy world. And I think I was more interested in the like My Best Friend's Wedding storyline, because that is like actual character work and that is inner human turmoil.
I get it.
And that is like Julia Roberts getting her ring sucked off by Dermot Mulroney. And so I think I would have absolutely loved that. But instead, we have like two worlds where Maddie is so clearly not meant to be with Paul Kennedy in either. And so to me, I was like, ah, we have like two incomplete rom-coms. They're never compelling enough to reach an apex. But I do want to say, if you are worried about representation, please don't, because Lindsay Lohan identifies as Irish-American and her grandfather is Irish. And so with that being said, I really hope she had a fun time in Ireland and she felt like it was a homecoming of sorts.
I get that. Kate, what did you think?
I think for me, I'm on the opposite side of the spectrum. Like, I really enjoyed this. I'm not going to say it's necessarily great, but I had a good time watching it. And walk with me here. I think Lindsay's very good in it. I think that she is. It made me remember why I picked her in the great Lindsay Lohan, Hilary Duff wars of the early 2000s. And it was nice seeing her just be in a place where she got to actually demonstrate her skill. I think she's been known for all kinds of awful things over the last, I don't know, decade or two at this point. And to get her to finally get back to where she started, like, I have been rooting for her Drew Barrymore style for ages now. And I'm so glad that she seems to finally be climbing out of that hole.
Yeah.
This movie is really, really fun. It doesn't make sense, but that's kind of how rom-coms go. You suspend your disbelief. None of that matters. Mm-hmm. The point is that she meets an intriguing photographer and they have great chemistry and it's wonderful. The Irish magic is not the point of this. The point is that they're beautiful people and they kiss a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I discovered while watching this movie and the other two movies that we're going to talk about today that I am essentially vibes based when it comes to romantic comedies.
Yes, exactly.
It's not that I didn't already know that, but like, think about like some of my most treasured romantic comedies. Think about like particularly a movie like While You Were Sleeping, right?
I love that movie.
That movie makes no sense. That movie involves somebody is in a coma and his family thinks you're his fiance and you're not, and you don't tell them that you're not, and then you fall in love with his brother. It makes no sense.
It's Christmas. There's magic.
And it's Christmas. However, the vibes in that movie, immaculate. The Sandra Bullock vibes are immaculate. The Bill Pullman vibes are immaculate. The Peter Gallagher vibes are immaculate. All the vibes, immaculate. This movie, very good vibes. I really thought that she was really charming in it. He's really charming in it. The photographer guy's really charming in it. Her friends are lovely. One of her friends is Aisha Curry.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which it took me like 20 minutes to realize that that was her.
I didn't realize that was her until the end. I was like, I know that I know who that is, but I don't know who it is. I'll look it up later. And it's Aisha Curry. I really thought this was super charming. And I agree. Like, the logic is
beside the point.
The logic is not going
to. That has nothing to do with it.
Normally, I am not big on romantic comedies that rely on magic / time travel / magic, wishes, stuff like that. Generally not. In this case, I enjoyed it so much. And I root for her, too. And I'm just delighted for her. I always want her to do well.
Yeah. Can I just mention my favorite fact, which is that the photographer that is, I guess, her love interest, Ed Spaliers. You might know him from the fourth season of You. He's like Reese, the evil politician author guy.
Right.
But guys, he's also Aragorn. He's Aragorn.
That means nothing to me.
So he's Aragorn. And I think that is really interesting for my little sci-fi middle school girlies. We link up. Yes.
Very nice. Very nice. He also was in Downton Abbey,
yes.
Which I didn't. I saw him and I thought, like, I know that guy. Where do I know that guy from? He was Jimmy on Downton Abbey.
I mean, I think the movie, it definitely has a kind of like Lifetime Movies for Women sheen.
Right.
But I think it works just because, like, this is a Netflix film. Like, if the objective here is just to be pumping out rom-coms that people can be picking from, I think this is a good baseline quality to start from.
Yeah, absolutely. As I said, vibes-based. 100%. And as Candace pointed out, beautiful scenery, right? It's the Aretha Franklin gowns. Beautiful, you know, beautiful scenery, beautiful scenery. So that's Irish Wish, streaming now on Netflix. Okay, let's move on to what was actually a pretty successful studio rom-com, which is something we don't get as often as we used to. Anyone But You, starring Sydney Sweeney and Glenn Powell as Bea and Ben, who have a hookup that goes awry and leaves them both soured on each other. A while later, they find themselves at the same destination wedding.
How crazy is it that we're on the same plane?
Don't think there's thousands of flights flying to Sydney every day.
Well, there's quite a few, actually. Qantas, American, Qantas through Dubai, some code shares. Serendipity, I guess.
I don't think that word means what you think it means.
So where's your fiance?
They and a whole bunch of other people engage in a series of highly unlikely behaviors that keep throwing them together. And, well, you get no extra credit for knowing how this one is going to work out. Anyone But You is available on VOD. Kate, I'm going to go to you first this time. What did you think?
So this was the last of the three films that I watched, and I would say that it's the best of them. I really enjoyed this. I really liked it. I think that it was a fun, satisfying film. I really liked their chemistry. I'm really into Glenn Powell. I know people hate him, but I'm there for it. But I guess similar to the time travel issue that you have, like, I really hate misconnections nonsense. Have a conversation. You're adults. And for it to happen twice, literally the exact same situation happens to them twice. And I'm bored. Just be nice. Go kiss. Why are we doing this?
Well, not just that, but like, this also has, like, they're going to fake that they don't know each other, and then they're going to fake that they're together, and then they're going to fake that they're not together, and then they're going to fake that they're together.
And that part was confusing because at certain points I had to figure out, like, okay, which person knows what about which part of the plan, and why would they be feeling this way?
And the whole thing relies on the family going to a great deal of trouble to try to get them together, which also doesn't make any sense to me.
I hate her parents.
So, yeah, I agree with you. Candace, what did you think?
This is a toughie for me. I not only felt attacked because Sydney Sweeney's character B drops out of the school I went to.
Me too. I was like, do that. B is not what you want to be.
So she drops out of school that I went to. But also, I just feel like this movie was so outsized by the marketing of it, right? Mm. So I feel like this movie tried so hard to be the Don't Worry Darling of 2023. You know, we could get into cheating allegations. We could get into on-set showmance allegations. So you have like this rumor mill, you have this press intrigue, and they needed it because the story I just don't think was good enough. You know, the story is based on Much Ado About Nothing. And the thing about Shakespeare adaptations is that, like, I need you to not only deeply understand the text, but I need you to subvert the text. And so I need you to, like, push some boundaries. Let's make it funny and intriguing and modern. For example, is this raising to the level of She's the Man, right? An absolute great movie that genuinely taught me the plot to Twelfth Night. Mm-hmm. Is this hitting 10 Things I Hate About You, which is based on Taming of the Shrew, which is like an absolute classic because of Heath Ledger singing Can't Take My Eyes Off of You? Like, I think when we are talking about adding to the rom-com canon, but also like making adaptations, I need to see some memorable, iconic moments. I need to see some elevation of text. And for me, this script was so shaky, not enough memorable moments. I don't even want to talk about Unwritten, but I think we have to talk about Unwritten.
I was just going to say, I'm like, that's not iconic for you, them singing Unwritten while hanging over the Australian harbor?
Release your inhibitions. Feel the rain on your skin.
Okay, here's my take on Unwritten. I watched this film when it came back into theaters for like Valentine's Day. And it starts with Glenn and Sydney coming on screen being like, hey guys, stay tuned. After the credits, there's going to be like a surprise. And I'm like, oh, can't wait what this is. I stayed. And the little bonus is it's Glenn and Sydney singing Unwritten in full for like 4 minutes. And guys, the second I heard that, I walked out of the theater and straight to my car. I just could not take this repetition. I was so over
it. Wait, did you just get the two of them?
Oh, is there more? We'll see. I walked out.
That's Candace. That's the whole cast. It's the whole cast, like at different moments from the movie, they clearly like paused and had people sing some of Unwritten at different moments.
I mean, see, I'm very pro that. I'm extremely pro musical numbers in rom-coms.
I thought that was the best idea in the whole movie, honestly.
And let me be clear. I love Glenn Powell.
Yes.
I think he might be our new Julia Roberts. That's it.
You know what? I'm with you on that.
I have to say, this was the one that I emphatically did not like
really?
Of these three. Really did not like this movie. As I said, I'm pretty vibes-based, and I think the vibes in this movie are just super unpleasant and sour. I never liked either of these people. I did not think that they liked each other. I didn't believe them as liking each other. It actually, I didn't even think of this in terms of Much Ado About Nothing. And I have to say, Candace, our generational divide has never been more clear than in the fact that you mentioned 10 Things I Hate About You and not Clueless. But listen, I also really like Glenn Powell. I also really like Sydney Sweeney, but not for this. Mm. I think this is not her lane.
Yeah,
I agree, actually.
I kept watching this movie and thinking, I don't think this script is very good. She also says every line in this script like she hates it to me. Well, I don't think she ever seems happy to be doing it. I don't think she ever seems to be enjoying herself. Listen, I am a fan of her, not just in The White Lotus, but I also really admire the way that she has talked about her career. Mm-hmm. She's talked about money, the role of kind of supporting yourself as a brand and a business. But I think this is not, I think Sunny is not her thing. You can be a grump, right? But you have to have some kind of Sunny quality in order for me to root for you to fall in love. And my reaction to this film was like, neither one of these people should be in this relationship. They mm-hmm. don't seem to like each other. And she doesn't need anybody. She's happy by herself. So go be happy by yourself.
Well, see, it works for me because I do agree with that distinction. I think coming into the film with, you know, the rest of her resume at the back of my mind, this is the performance that I would expect her to give, right? She's an EP on the film. And to me, this is the Sydney Sweeney version of rom-com love interest. I think what becomes the issue is that Glenn Powell is like full bore. He's like completely going for it, which is like totally fine. I love that, right? I was super into that 2018 rom-com that he did for Netflix, Set It Up.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Yeah. He has the zhuzh. He has, you know what I mean? He's got that screen quality that, like, I agree, Julia Roberts just really has. And I think that because it's such a mismatch, it ends up making them not both look worse, but that I think is part of why they don't look like they've got this heat. Because it's only in the scenes where he is kind of taking the lead in terms of directing the action where I felt like there's a sizzle. But I think with her, she plays everything as kind of indifferent, I guess, in a way that subtracts from what he's doing. And I think that's really unfortunate because in the few moments where they're like operating on the same wavelength, I think it's really cute. I mean, in that same scene that I mentioned earlier where they're sky high over the Australian hopper because they fell into the ocean, I really liked that. I thought they connected really well, but there aren't enough of those moments because most of the movie, they spend yelling at each other.
I completely agree with this analysis of the Sydney versus Glenn dynamic, mm-hmm. right? Because, you know, unfortunately in a rom-com, you probably shouldn't have two golden retrievers, which is totally fair. But Glenn, who was so solidly set up for this mm-hmm. ecosystem, like literally set it up, is a perfect yep. rom-com. Yeah. He is someone that I see in this like huge box office draw, all American boy vibe. And so I'm very open to seeing him try a rom-com again. With Sydney, I agree. I just think that she is such a better dramatic actress mm-hmm. that's very good at like the solo close-up films, like Reality, Immaculate, or Euphoria when it's her episode. Mm-hmm. And so I just feel like this movie tried to be like a broad, brash, raunchy comedy, but I needed Will Gluck to lean into the romance a little more. That's what I think would have balanced it out.
Yes, Will Gluck, the director and one of the screenwriters for the film.
Yeah, because I will say I laughed a ton, and I remember thinking that at the time, like, this is the first rom-com in a while where there's enough calm that I'm actually laughing. I had a good time. Maybe it's just me that I'm shallow and I like looking at beautiful people. But I, for the most part, I liked it. I think that in terms of rewatchability, I would probably go more upgraded. But I mean, we'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah, I felt bad because I wanted to like it because I like all the people, but I didn't like the movie. So that is Anyone But You. It is available on VOD. The third and final movie in our roundup today, which Kate just mentioned, is Upgraded. Upgraded stars Camila Mendes as Anna, who works as an assistant to an art auctioneer played by Marissa Tomei. Speaking of people mm-hmm. I like, she meets a handsome man named Will, played by Archie Renaud, who mistakes her for her boss, and she decides, as people in movies like this often do, not to correct him.
Forgive me for this. You seem a bit young to be the director. What? Do you get that a lot?
Yeah. Yeah, actually, I do.
Will she be found out by her boss? Will she be found out by this new man in her life? And what about his mother, a very wealthy woman played by the glamorous Lena Olin? Upgraded is streaming on Prime Video, so we should note that Amazon supports NPR and pays to distribute some of our content. Candace, I'm going to go back to you. What did you think about Upgraded?
So of the three, Upgraded is my favorite movie of this list. I love it. I think it is well shot. I think the story makes sense. I think it's actually very heisty and like a little adventurous, and it holds my attention. But the reason I love this movie is because I love Camila Mendes. I love that girl. Okay, so to me, Camila Mendes is one of the only actors who knows exactly how to act in a streaming movie. So what I mean is that, you know, she knows that this is not going to play in an AMC theater, right? So she's not going to do the subtle Dakota Johnson thing. But she also knows that this is not a CW show, so she doesn't have to be like bombastic and big and loud. And I like the way that she preserves her energy in a way that comes out as fast and sharp. And I think her character on Riverdale really trained her for that, because that is a character that's very one-liner, snappy dialogue. And I think about the fact that she did Do Revenge, another fantastic streaming performance and movie. And the only other actor I can think of who like tickles this fancy is Noah Centineo, someone who also knew exactly how to like nail To All the Boys I Loved Before. And I think this
is blown.
Right. And I think there's a certain lane that both of them have made for themselves, and it just works. I'm so happy.
Yeah. How about you, Kate?
I mean, well, firstly, that might explain why Noah hasn't managed to make anything pop outside of streaming.
Yeah.
But I mean, I definitely like this. I'm also a big Camila fan. You know, I'm in the trenches for Riverdale, so I've been a fan of hers for quite some time. I don't know if this is a good or bad thing, but I felt that this was the most realistic rom-com that I'd seen in a while.
Yeah.
There's a bit where once everything kind of falls apart, you know, at one point she says, like, this is my job. Like, you can't just show up at my job. And I thought, yeah, they do that a lot in rom-coms. You can't do that. You can't just do that. And I liked that we got to see what her motivations are. Like, she really wants to be part of this world. She's working hard. She's working for free. She's trying to set herself up to have the kind of career that she wants. And yes, she's taking a couple shortcuts and she's maybe telling a couple white lies, but, you know, reasonably, she does not actually anticipate that they will collide. And I think that once that does happen, she's able to explain herself in a way that it doesn't excuse her behavior, but she recognizes that there's no shortcuts, you know, in this world. Mm-hmm. And I think I personally didn't really love what's his name, the guy. I didn't care.
Oh.
But I think for her, as a kind of like, it almost works for me as like a kind of Devil Wears Prada, right? Where it's like her kind of operating in this medium as a career girl, and maybe she has a guy and like that might happen. But like the focus of it, of the story, is her getting to this end goal. And I really liked that, because I feel like usually we've got, you know, the big presentation or the whatever it is at the end of these movies. And I feel like this had a much more specific goal, and it made her a lot more exciting to me as a protagonist.
Yeah, this is another one where I would say really good vibes on this movie because of Camila Mendes. And I agree with Candace. I think that's so well said, that finding the right rhythm for streaming movies, it's really interesting to think of that as a specific thing. But, you know, my favorite thing that occurred to me as I was listening to you guys talk about this is like, what an interesting kind of succession of Riverdale adjacent projects when you have like Charles Melton in
May-December.
And you have Cole Sprouse in Lisa Frankenstein, which I really liked and thought was darling. And I thought he was really, really clever and good physical comedy. And then the stuff that Camila Mendes is doing in this and in Do Revenge, I think this gets by like any of them on just how appealing it is to watch the people. You know, consider the underutilization of Dermot Mulroney in Anyone But You, compared to, I think, a really nice use of Marissa Tomei in this, where she gets to be really funny. And as she's kind of easing into like her boss aunt kind of era.
Yeah.
There's not an auction house on this planet that will hire you after the emails I'm about to send out. So it's your retirement party. Okay, hooray. Get him some champagne.
I think it's a really nice use of her. I think it's a really nice use of Lena Olin, who you don't necessarily see this side of her as like the loving mother-in-law, basically. I think they got a lot of details right. And I think they set it in this very specific world of art, which even if it's not entirely accurate, it's specific. So within its own world, it feels developed. So that third one is called Upgraded. It is streaming on Prime. We all really enjoyed that one.
I also want to say that I think there is one movie that I have watched recently that I think is better than all of these, which is Players on Netflix, which is also a streaming rom-com. That movie, it does star Gina Rodriguez. So you kind of have to like check your thoughts at the door. Maybe we'll see. But I have to say, I think she redeems herself. It's about a sports journalist who basically plays reverse hitch with her coworkers, which is actually very fun. Damon Wayans Jr. is in it. Liza Koshy's really good in it. But I would just say that Players and Upgraded, those are two films that are rom-coms, leads that are people of color streaming that I loved, and I would love more of those. I want something grounded and honest. Tell me something I know. Meet me where I'm at.
I think that makes all the sense in the world. I am delighted by the success of the streaming rom-com because heaven knows we don't get the big budget ones in theaters like we used to. And I was a little bit bummed actually that Anyone But You was as financially successful as it was, because I don't want people to think this is the only way to do this. To start with, like, very marketing that's very heavy on, like, how hot the people are, which, look, they're very hot people. But it doesn't have to be marketed that way, and you don't have to make it about that. And that's enough of me being, like, old rom-com lady. But we want to know what you think about these rom-coms, and heck, maybe other rom-coms as well. Find us at facebook.com/PCHH. That brings us to the end of our show. Candace Lim, Kate Young, thank you so much. This was very therapeutic for me.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We want to take a minute to thank our Pop Culture Happy Hour Plus subscribers. We appreciate you so much for showing your support of NPR. If you haven't signed up yet, you want to show your support, and you'd like to listen to this show without any sponsor breaks, head over to plus.npr.org/happyhour or visit the link in our show notes. This episode was produced by Liz Metzger and edited by Jessica Reedy. I could wish for nothing more. And Hello Come In provides our theme music. Thanks for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. I'm Linda Holmes, and we'll see you all tomorrow.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Vuori, a new perspective on performance apparel. Clothing designed with premium fabrics, built to move in, styled for life. For 20% off your first purchase, go to Vuori.com/NPR.
Support for NPR and the following message come from IXL Learning. IXL Learning uses advanced algorithms to give the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. Get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when you sign up today at IXL.com/NPR.
Last year, over 20,000 people joined the Body Electric study to change their sedentary, screen-filled lives. And guess what?
We saw amazing effects.
Now you can try NPR's Body Electric Challenge yourself. Listen to updated and new episodes wherever you get your podcasts.